Oh.
Okay, so we're going to Baruch Hashem be back together on Wednesday.
Okay, so hold on, I'll send it back.
On this year.
I think to remind everyone that we're keeping touch in
But if you really, really, really have a question, you're welcome to say it. Okay. Just Baruch Hashem, we're getting close to Shabbat. Also, we're very excited with the book coming out. This is already almost for the editor. Torah and emotional. It's going to be a book about Torah and emotional well-being. So, not a storybook, but a learning book.
With occasional stories thrown in. It's going to be available to everybody.
Yeah. I'm very excited about it, finally getting a lot of thoughts onto paper. Okay, so what we're doing is we're continuing in the Sefer Chiyuvos HaLevavos, and we learned before Shah, if you guys are keeping track of this, but it's not so complicated. Before we're doing Shah Vedas, Shah Yichud HaMaisa talked to us about, Shah Yichud HaMaisa was about how to get to do a mitzvah to Hashem with just because doing it for Hashem's sake and not for ulterior motives. So you need one? Yeah.
Sure.
And not for ulterior motives. And we spoke about the need, if you remember, on Perek Beis, we spoke about the need of if there's 10 steps that a person should know in order to get to that level, and that part of it was knowing that the munah part of it, the bechina part of it, seeing goodness of Hashem and everything. The third part was this is what we learn now, and the fourth part was betochen Hashem, and they kept on moving it down to the tenth part was when an emotion comes from your heart, you should take counsel from your seichel. And so, who's the seichel? The seichel is the seichel of Torah, and this is actually defines this. And so I figured, and then we talked about how we have a Yetzirah intertwined into our being. And when we understand that, then suddenly our understanding of ourselves becomes a lot clearer. And that means that we're not possessed by a plague when we show differences of emotion, but rather we have an inner battle, which is by design that Hashem gives us to have the Mechamet, we call the Mechamet HaYetzirah, all these fancy labels, but what it means is, an neshama comes out of this world. The neshama is tachas kisa covered in the world of kedusha and the world of seeing Hashem and clarity of Hashem and enjoying the beauty of Hashem and as a person does in Gan Eden. And as the neshama comes down with a mission into the body, and the mission is to initially by nasibanishma, by doing it by force, to do whatever Hashem wants, but ultimately the goal is we have to come to love Hashem and fear Hashem and have it also part of our understanding also. And that's what Shabbat is all about. Why? Because when this person does that, what he's doing, he's bringing the Kedusha of Gan Eden into this world. He's bringing the Kedusha of Gan Eden that not only in Gan Eden you see that Hashem is there, but even in this physical abode and the physical world that we live in, we can see Hashem also. That was the Beis HaMikdash in its glory. Mashiach is coming, so we'll have it again, where we can see the Eibushter being dwelling in this world. That's what every mitzvah does. A mitzvah, when you walk into a shul, for example, and you see a Sefer Torah, maybe I should give a. You walk into a shul and you see somebody learning Torah. You walk into a house and you see a Shabbos table. It's not, but the Shabbos does not. You see someone wearing tefillin, talis, and tefillin. So what you're looking at is actually somebody fulfilling the mitzvah of Hashem, and what you're looking at really is a human being, of flesh and blood, who has become a conduit for Hashem's will to be seen. What you're looking at, and that's why Sefer Torah is holy. Why is Sefer Torah holy? Because Sefer Torah has the names of Yud-Kei-Vav-Yod-Kim, all of the seven names of Hashem, and it's also all five books from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's all bound together, and that's where Hashem is. So mitzvah, this piece of leather that could have been used for anything else is suddenly elevated and connected with Hashem. When you see a person putting on tefillin or any person doing a mitzvah, what are you looking at? You're looking at the will of Hashem being manifested in this world. That's what you're seeing. You're seeing the will of Hashem coming down that even a human being, even a flesh and blood, somebody flesh and blood can actually connect to Hashem with the mitzvah, with the talis and tefillin or any mitzvah he's doing. If you walk into the world and you see a world of let's say you saw a physical cow. You saw a cow, and this cow is eating grass. Now, what is from the present from the from the from the I say from the view of the cow? What would the cow want? Today, cows have emotions too. So, what would the cow want? I'm making a joke. What do you think? I've seen a lot of cows. They don't. So
They don't have emotions, is there?
they have pain. But anyways, what would the cow want? Would the cow rather live its life out? I think the whole lifespan of a cow is 5, 7 years. They don't live a long time in relation to our lifespan. Baruch Hashem, would the cow rather live, get born, eat grass, do what it does all 7 years, and then just die and become manure for a plant or a tree? Or would a cow rather want that it should be shechted, go through the pain of shechita, and then become part of a Shabbos table, or become the hide should become part of a Sefer Torah? And if the cow's hide is part of a Sefer Torah, suddenly this cow, this life that gave the Shem's life, that gave life to the cow, has now just reconnected with Hashem in an eternal way. What do you think the cow would want? If it would, it can't take that choice, but a human being can understand. This is a being. It's here today and 7 years gone tomorrow or earlier. It's a physical being. It has all limitations and it has the opportunity to live itself out peacefully, what we call peacefully, but with no purpose, or it can become purpose and connect to the divine forever. I mean, it doesn't really die. What it means is its real essence actually connects with Hashem, becomes Sefer Torah, becomes a pair of tefillin. So this is really the world we live in. We are able to take physical. So the Ebesu creates not one cow, creates all types of cows, all types of course of species. Because in the Torah, he tells us to take the leather, and that you can't have a leather. You cannot have leather if you don't have a cow. And that's what it is. You can't have a cow. You can't bring a korban on the Mizbeach if you don't have a whole species of cows. So Hashem creates a ganze matzav over here with cows, and you have the option. The option could be very nice to the cow and give it to eat all nice stuff and let it die, or you can actually use it for divine purpose. And that's actually what's happening when we are doing a mitzvah. So, in terms of let's not guys, I've had it's happened all the time. Right? Somebody he's going through a difficult time, and I explained to him that the solution is that you have a heart attack. But by passing in the sun, you're connecting with Hashem, you're filling your purpose, you make Hashem happy. The guy looking at it, he said, how come other people have it easy? This guy is actually has a heart, has a hearing impairment. And so you have a hearing impairment, you're showing even with the hearing impairment, you're living a Yiddish life and you're learning Tzedek guy. And the other guy next door doesn't have a hearing impairment, but he has it easier. So you think he's better off, but you're working, you're filling your purpose in life. So he says, well, maybe I'd rather be like him. When a person goes through a study and they can look at somebody who doesn't have it and say, well, that guy's it easier. But this is the point. Is he having it easier? Is it easier to get a check every year for as long as you live and just eat, drink coffee and eat pizza or whatever you're doing or strip steak or be productive and actually change things and be important to the world? The truth of the matter is, if everybody saw it the right way, they would say, yes, I don't want to go through the pain, but I'd rather be productive. I'd rather fulfill my purpose. The guy who has no purpose is less important or less connected than in a deeper level than the person who has it. So this is the way Torah teaches us about serving Hashem. And the way we can understand all of this is by understanding the world where the Torah explains to us. That's how Torah explains us why we're here, the purpose we're here, the challenge that we have with the Yetzer Hara. That's how we start the conversation. The Yetzer Hara is actually called a behemoth. Why is the Yetzer Hara called a behemoth? Because a behemoth is not necessarily bad. It's not like a chazir, which is actually bad, which has a tummy. It's a behemoth just wants to enjoy life. But this behemoth, by just enjoying life and not doing its purpose, can die and right away. Or this behemoth can actually listen to the Yetzer Tov, join the Yetzer Tov in serving Hashem, and suddenly this behemoth becomes part of Hashem. So this is the Seichel of Kedusha. We're at work. That's when we talk about Seichel of Kedusha. That's what it means. How do we know all this? We know all this because Torah teaches it to us. So here's the two things going on over, and that's what he's going to explain over here. I'm going to try to get this through the next few lessons. We obviously there's an important thing to use our seichel. Our intellectual capacity has to be used. We have to think. Thank you. Our intellectual capacity has to be used. Why? Because, and if you look at the back of this leaflet, that's what I'm going to. I can't get everything done in one day, so I have to give me You look at the back of this pamphlet. It has 2 pages. This is really the goal. I can just jump into it. I think I'm going to do the long short way. But my goal is, there's two prompts how you can serve Hashem. You can, the advantage of 7 milers. The 7 milers of serving, this is straight out of Peter Gimel, of this part of Chavos HaLevavos. This is prompt, there are advantages of using your seichel and serving Hashem. And then it has its faults. And then the 7 advantages by just doing it because Torah tells you to do it, the clarity of Torah, and it's not false, but it's need to be able to convince the seichel that what Torah is saying is the right way. Okay, so if you put them both together, now you have an Eved Hashem, because this Eved Hashem is not only using his Torah to force him, but he's actually understanding what he's doing, and he's able to serve Hashem with Avla and Yireh. So what we're trying to accomplish here is to find out, why do we have to use our intellectual capacity? Why can we just say Hashem says so in the Tehillim? And what do I need the whole exercise for? And to understand that everything can be understood 2 different ways. That's what we learned in Shariach D'Maaseh. We learned that in every situation you could be taught 2 different ways. And this guy actually last night was teaching me a lot about CBT. I know. How do you know what CBT is? I didn't know. It's a cereal, huh? Yeah, just Looks, I told him about the Munna B'Tochen, and he says, "Wow, that's a little different than I was taught with CBT." So that triggered the conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. It's missing, but missing the Nekuda Ikri, it was just Tater. And that's it blows your mind when you have such wealth in Tater. And can teach you Chochman in such a great way, and you're going and chasing with crumbs, not even crumbs. You have the unlimited Torah verse, and to teach you, and you're looking like a blind person in the world trying to figure things out with CBT. Anyway, let's get over here. So we're gonna jump to page 6. I figured I'll print from the beginning the Hakdama, the Psicha, and to. So this is the setup. This part of Chavos HaLevavos. If everybody wants to know back to B'tochen, we can go back to B'tochen. My real class started from there, but as we went on learning deeper, we got into how to overcome the Yitzhahara when he challenges on B'tochen. We spoke about the Seichel of Kedusha. We talked about understanding things in the Kedusha way, and I thought that maybe if you learn this few parts, this actually has 7 chapters. We're not going to go to 7 chapters. I tried it with the men; it didn't work. So I'm not trying to get it for sure. Huh? Right. I'm just trying to. I think I like. But the truth of the matter is, the more you learn, the more you understand, the more things become simple. If everybody tries to make things complicated, it's really very simple. People look at me very simple. It may be take a video to implement in your life, but once you have the clarity and you're willing to say, if this is what it is, I'll do it. Then you see life is really simple. And what he's really trying to do over here, just trying. What he's doing, not trying. What he's doing over here, this section is like this. He has a sefer called Chavos HaLevavos. Chavos HaLevavos means, I mentioned it before. So let's begin from there. Exactly. Let me give you a shtick like Dhamma. Chavos HaLevavos means the obligations of your heart. Now, everyone has a Shulchan Aruch in the house. And if you want to know how to keep Shabbos, you'll go to Shulchan Aruch, you pull it out, you read the right page, and you know how to do it. You want to know how to keep kosher, you open Shulchan Aruch, you know how to do it. Anything, you know, sneeze, anything you want. You look in Shulchan Aruch, I'll tell you how to do it. That's Shulchan Aruch. And he writes the preface, Akdama, this Sefer is an absolutely fascinating Akdama. Very few stuff like that. He has it can take a few hours just to read the Akdama that he before he writes his own Sefer. Because what he's doing there, he's showing the difference between the svarim that are written before him on how many mitzvahs there are, how to do each mitzvah, and what he's wants to do. He was doing a novel thing. I said, I'm going to choose those mitzvahs that have to do with the lev, with the emotion. And here you go. If Torah, talk about emotional well-being. Torah, everybody says that emotions belong somewhere else. Well, Torah Hashem creates the person and his emotions through Torah. And Torah tells us we're supposed to have certain emotions. It tells us we're supposed to have Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. It tells us we're also mechabed Hashem, because all these other Torah tells us to stay away from bitter emotions, anger, depression, stay away from kinah, sinah. So the Torah is talking about emotions. So I'm not sure, not sure. It's really embarrassing for anybody to get up and say that Torah doesn't speak about emotions. You want to take your head and screw it. I don't understand how they make such a statement. How do you say a moon of talking shuts down your emotions? The other way around. So that's what the sefer does. The sefer comes and says, like, but here is the triple rope that has three strands in it. It's a possible that a rope that's made with three strands, it doesn't get ripped very fast. It's not taken apart, right? What's the three strands? And he explains this. He says the first thing is Chavis Alavavas has to be able to be understood. You can't tell somebody you have to have a certain Avos Hashem, and Hashem does that. We have to Hashem Alekecha. He said every day, and Hashem says as Hashem Alekecha Tira, you should be fear of Hashem. It says V'yidayt, you should think about Emunas Hashem. So he says I'm going to write you a sefer that nobody's writing about. Everybody's writing about what to do, and I'm trying to write you a sefer of how to feel. I'm writing you a sefer not what to do. I'm writing you a sefer how to feel. How do you get a good, healthy emotion going? That's what the word chayvus means. Because you say a word a long time, you forget what it even means. Chayvus means the obligation of the lave. In other words, it's not with our hands and our feet and our eyes and our ears that have a piyuv. It's really, and he talks about, and we'll see it soon, how the real key to your actions is your heart and is your mind. Because if what you feel like, that's what you're going to do. So, and hence the whole thing with the Yetzer. But it's interesting, like I've said before, he comes in the Yetzer Eretz in the fifth shot. But the very first thing he sets out to do is Emunah. You see, that's what we talk about, foundational. Emunah is foundational. Emunah in the Sefer. And that's this is so from Emunah, you have to first know there's Eibishter. Not there's Eibishter. The Eibishter is Yochid. There's nothing else besides him, really. And when you get a good understanding of the world you're living in, now you look around, you see Shabbachin, he goes through a whole shot and explains to see Hashem's goodness in the world. And then it's Shlishi, and that's what the page one of this pamphlet I gave out. It's not a pamphlet, it's a copy and paste from the Shara B'Tochen online. And I'm Shara. So now that you know that Hashem is good, so when you see somebody's benefactor, is a benefactor, the benefit. Benefactor, so if you see somebody's good to you, you have a chiv to reciprocate and be good to him too. So he says, in order to have chivas l'vavos, you have to have three things, three ingredients. I think these three ingredients are very important to remember. It has to be understood. You don't have to understand why you have to keep Shabbos. You don't have to understand to keep Shabbos. You don't have to understand why to keep kosher. Actually, you can't understand why you have to keep kosher. Why can't you mix milk and meat? Milk is kosher, meat is kosher. Why can't we eat together? That's a chukkah. Some of you do understand, but amidst to do something, you don't need to know why. It's nice to know why. It may give you a little bit of life and what you're doing, and it does, and we should do it. But here, when it comes to the Torah, it says, if you don't understand that you cannot command somebody, don't be angry. I am angry. I'm only human. How do you like that? Don't be jealous. You're not jealous because you have it. What are you telling me? I don't have it. I am jealous. And I am jealous. Right? Be meichel. And be meichel? I don't like the guy. He hurt me. And I'm going to hate him to the end of the world. Right? So every midah that he tells you, so that's why, just if you reference to remember, the half the Hashem Lekecha comes after Shema Yisrael Hashem Lekecha Hashem Echad. And that's not by mistake. That's exactly what David is telling you. Shema Yisrael. Listen and understand. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is my God. I'm not an abstract number flying through the universe. I am. It's my Hashem. He's created for a purpose. Hashem is Chod. Hashem is one. When you realize how good Hashem is and how big Hashem is, how infinite Hashem is, then mitamol you talk about after. Then you love. What's Yisrael love? Love means something you care for, something you get close to, something you. What's fear? Fear doesn't just mean you fear that he's going to hit you. Fear means that you're in awe. You're humble. You stand. He's standing with somebody great. You stand with humility, So he says, in order to have that, in order to have that midah of lev, you have to have the Shema Yisrael before. Sometimes this is the point. And then, how are you supposed to have that seichel? Who's going to teach me how the greatness of Hashem? Who's going to teach me the awesomeness of Hashem. Who's going to teach me why the concept of mechila, the concept of not getting angry or not getting depressed, not being anxious? Torah will teach you that. Torah will teach you that. So you have to have Torah to teich you how to think. Because if you're going to try your seichel on itself, and he's going to explain this now, it's not going to be able to do it because this seichel, which means the seichel of your neshama, comes down into a physical being, and his physical being is in a world where it's pulling him the other way. It's pulling him to enjoy physical things. He sees things only in front of his face. He can't understand what's going on. He's pulled with all different types of desires, and that clouds the brain. So in order for the seichel to work properly, you need to have Torah to teach you the truth. Because if you find, so here's, and this is the chart you put at the end of the page. I'll first learn it inside in a reference to the chart. Where you have to make understand as much as you could understand. Hashem doesn't ask you for more than you could understand. But to tell a child, for example, 2 + 2 = 4, and the child will tell you why, and you'll say, because I said so, right? That's not a good answer for a lot of reasons. First of all, you're not teaching him how to add. And second of all, it's not true. You couldn't explain it. If you take two apples and two apples, you count them together, it's 4. 2 + 2 = 4. And if you take 2 × 2, it's also 4. Why 2 × 2 is also 4? And everything, you can explain things. What can be explained has to, then you have to understand it. Now, you have to understand as much as Hashem gives you the brains to understand. If you're lacking in intellectual capacity, or if you're lacking even in emotional capacity, if you only can feel as much as you can feel, Hashem does not ask from you more than you can give. Very important, the Kudus. So not like, I don't get it, I can't. No, if you don't get it, you can't. But at least if you can, or worse, if you are using your intellect to learn other things, that means you could. So then first learn things that from Taylor, and then you'll understand the truth. And so that's why you need to have, so that's, we need to have Seichel and Taylor working together. So say, in other words, a mitzvah of Chavis Lavavos, a mitzvah of Amun, a mitzvah of Bechin, a mitzvah of Avedis Lekim, even to serve Hashem, it could be understood logically, and also has to be taught to you by Taylor because of the 7 different reasons. Well, 3 different reasons, sorry. Of various reasons, if you just rely on your seichel, you will fail because your seichel lives in a place which is not its domain, and therefore it needs help. It needs Torah to help it see the clarity through the old darkness, right? And we know today, right? Why do we need Torah for? Not because we can't understand. It's not because Torah is coming and saying this is the way it is. 2 + 2 = 4. Because I said so. Torah is telling you, understand it. You're being taught. It's almost like I told you the story when I was in the teaching Shara Yichud in this place called prison. And we sat around a table. And I took upon myself an interesting task. I think I succeeded at least one guy. There were like 6 or 8 guys around the table. And as I'm going through explaining what he writes over there about how can you come with your seichel to understand that there's a creator and the creator has to be one. And he goes through... He goes through the logical path, and then it says in Torah, because he's not just relying on logic. Because if I built my life around logic, it's terrible. But seichel shifts. You can't build a foundation on seichel. Today you understand today, and tomorrow you said differently. You have to have a solid. But if you could understand it. So seichel also is with it. And I'll explain you the miles of seichel. That's what we're talking about. So in explaining how logic can prove that there's only one creator. There's 7 points he brings out. And I think it was the 5th point that this kid became very animated and very upset. And he actually screamed out, how come they didn't teach him this in school? So it turns out to be, I said this with you before, that this guy had gone to a college, a business college, to learn a trade, I think of a blueprints. I told you, to be a very, very, and for whatever reason, he had to learn philosophy, all these jokes that come along with it. The what philosophy have to do with making blueprints, I'm not sure. But they told him philosophy. Obviously, that was their way of catching guys' attention and teaching him something and forcing him to learn hypocrisy. And he obviously bought into something that actually led him to lead a less than Yiddish life, if not an action in feeling for sure. Because he's married to a Jewish woman and they're raising one Jewish child. And outwardly, he had payas, he had the trim beard. And he put on tefillin every day, and he kept Shabbos. So, but inwardly, he had a problem, because when he heard how Rabbeinu Bachi explains to him a concept in logic. And he realized that they lied to him. That means there was one detail in the logic that they omitted, like the HR always does. We learned that the HR omits a point or stretches a point. And he realized that what they taught him in school was a lie. It was so overwhelming to this person. And he wasn't the most intellectual person, an average guy. He became so animated and he got, and actually from that point on, I can think, but from that point on, he did change his life and he walked out from the place called prison with a longer beard, visually, and it's hard to can't measure. But he walked out more frum till today than he was before. And he has more shalom bais today than he had before. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One reason shalom bais helps, he's not in prison anymore. But he has a Baruch Shalom
Mark.
Bais. So this is what he's. This is where the Kibbutz of Avos is built on these three. Oh, so now you have Seichel, and you have Torah to guide, not to guide the Seichel, to teach the Seichel what's a true thought, what's a lie, how to discern. Remember, we talked about the Yetzirah gives you starts talking to you about lies. How do you answer these questions? So you have to have the Torah understanding of the truth. Torah teaches it to you. You have to be willing to take the book off the shelf or go to a teacher and learn the book. And then you have a third thing. The third thing is a Masoida. You can't just pick up and read it. And today's world of translations, they almost make it seem you can. But you need to have Masoida, meaning you need to have know that this pasuk is, because this pasuk has a way that the Eibusher tells how to learn it, because any person can be learned any way you want it to learn. So you have to have the Masada how this is understood from Har Sinai till today. But we know as the Gemara, and we know as Pirkei Avos says in the Murad of Emotion, the Chutzal, the Chulav, the Chulav, Musa, Chassidus, all these inyanim are part of Torah. So that's the Masada. So you can't say, well, I read the pasuk and I learned it a different way. Shkoyach. You have to have these three things. You have to have Seichel, you have to have Torah, and you have to have. That's what he writes in the. In this abdomen, and then he sets out to do this. He sets out to do this first with teaching of the Amunah, then Bechina, and here he's setting out to teach us how to use it in serving Hashem. Okay.
The difference between cycle and
Seichel is your seichel. That you mean the neshama, the way the person understands it, and Torah is the way the Eibusher teaches it to him. If a person says, I don't understand it, I'll do because that's in Torah, that means his seichel is not in the world of Torah. He understands it differently. He's doing it, but he can't have the emotion. He can't have that feeling because he doesn't understand it. So you have to understand. Again, understanding as much as you can understand it. You don't say, I'll wait till I understand. If I can't, you don't, that's why you need Torah. You need Torah to tell you this is the right way. Even before I understand, I'll do it. But then you have to realize to do it properly, to come to the realization that you're born to serve Hashem, then you have to do seichel. Hashem is good to you. You have to serve him. Is that you see? It works together. Okay. So on page six, he starts Perek Aleph. Huh? It's maybe a little heavier than you bargained for, but if it gets a little too heavy, I'd like to know, and I can always shift back. He says, arousing man to God, Hashem's service, and its various branches on the bottom of the page. I'm reading it in English, okay? And its various branches are necessary on the following grounds. The understanding of, and the fact of the perception both instruct on human beings the duty of serving Hashem. So he says, your seichel can bring you to understand the duty, the obligation to serve Hashem. That means you come into the world and you see a world that you can take two paths. You can take a path of Chaim, of Torah, of serving Hashem, or you can take this path of just enjoying whatever temptations there are in this world for the few years that a person has in his age bracket. As he gets older, he gets weaker and whatever. And chapara, they call it chaparayim, but not chaparayim, nothing, because it's the truth of the matter is the person never dies, even fulfilling half of his desires, as Chazal tell us. So you have two choices in front of you. So the understanding, the fact of the perception, both instruct on human beings the duty to serve them. That we could understand, but between the time when the benefits that man receives from Hashem and the time. Yes, he has had sufficient intelligence to realize the service he should render to in return for them. A long period intervenes. There is a time. So, like I said, you're welcome to take us with you. Or you're welcome to buy Chavis loves yourself. But he on page one, he goes through five different types of benefits that people that that people receive from someone, and each one he points out that even though you're receiving a benefit, like a father benefits to a child, a master to a servant, a wealthy man, everybody's doing it, but they're doing it with a different end of mind. They're not doing it for pure reasons. They're not doing it for service. They know they're doing it. They're doing the kindness because, like a master to a servant, he wants the servant to be healthy, so you should give him what he wants. When a wealthy person sees a poor guy, and he wants to get schar ilam haba, he's not really helping the poor guy. He's helping himself by ilam haba. Huh? Yeah, everybody has a problem with that. I jumped over it. That's not true. Because if you brought it, it's, I'm running out of time. But a father, even a father, his inner desire is to help his child. But on the same token, he sees in his child his continuation. So a big part of a father's input into his child is that, of course, he's most dislikes his child. And there is an essential part there, it's true. But he's focused on the father, even when he's doing it. He's always a reason, because the child to the father, father knows nothing forever, and he knows that the child is his continuation, his kaddish, if you will, and therefore he a lot of what he does for the child is based on that. So here's the point: even of all these things, even though there is an ulterior motive, when we still commend it to respect the father, let's keep that aim. A servant still has to respect his master. Somebody who receives a favor from a wealthy person is supposed to realize that a shliach of Hashem to do it. So it's not so halach kam. See, it means that halach kam v'kam much more. So when Hashem doesn't have to give us any good, Hashem is not doing it for any reason. Hashem is giving good because He wants to give us good. He doesn't owe us anything, and He's not receiving anything, and we're not His continuation, etc. etc. That's what's being these five examples. So therefore, if we see that Hashem, we just finished learning in the Shai Abchina how good Hashem is to us. How much more so we should accept, if Hashem is good to us, we should return and His service to Him and do what we were created for. So now He says, so you see that by using the right type of understanding of Hashem, you can come to logically understand. But the problem is, you can't go to a kid when he's 1 year old and explain that to him, or 13 years old even. You can't. It takes time till a person can come to that type of seichel. And that's why, remember, we're talking about why you need seichel. And why need Taylor? So therefore, that's why the time period until the person is going to understand it, so that's why the duty to arouse men, human beings and their basic deeds and in the faith, which makes the Sivsaka complete. So in other words, the fact we have a moon in Hashem, and the fact that Hashem gives a Taylor, and the fact that Hashem knows, we know that Hashem wants it of us, so that fills in the gap. Until I understand, I have Taylor to direct me. That's in everything you learn about. Anything you learn in Chavis Alavavis, until you get the grasp of it, if it says so in Torah, you accept it. And that, because that's what Torah is dictating to you, but you don't leave it there. You also search that for yourself, even though you say it, can understand it. That's how he starts off this thing. And in that, now he says, so a human being should not be without religion up to the time when his mental powers have become fully undeveloped. So you don't say that Emunah and Betochen shut down your mental capacity and your emotions, but you say Emunah and Betochen allows you to function properly before your intellectual capacities are developed. And it also, what we said at length until now, it also teaches you how, when your mental capacity is developed, it teaches you also how to think. And that's what it says over here. Look at these two things. But there's two attentions here. One of them is inherent in the understanding implanted in the human faculty of cognition innate from the beginning of its existence. That means we all have a seichel that we can understand. And the second thing is that others are acquired through instruction, namely the Torah, which is a prophet. It means Moshe Rabbeinu conveys through the human beings so as to teach them the mode of service, which is the duty to render to the created the best being. So now he's going to set upon to say, if we have our seichel that can come to it, why in the world do we need to have Torah tell it to us? And that's where it goes in Perek Beis. And it's generally, he says like this. There's three reasons. Okay, Perek Beis. Both methods of calling attention to the service of Hashem are necessary because of the innate urge of the understanding is weak in three respects. And we are therefore on the duty to strengthen it by religious instruction. So Taylor means Taylor's commanding you to do it. Seichel means I understand it with my own seichel. I understand what Taylor is telling me, and therefore I can motivate myself with with my own seichel, but I can't. But the problem with the own seichel works like this. First, and I want to say, read this and think to yourself, how in the world are we going to trust anybody that comes to us with seichel without Torah? That's what I want you to come out from today's class. We have 15 minutes left. First, a person is made up of diverse entities, natures conflicting and mutually antagonistic, which are what? Simple. The entities are his soul and his body. So first take a good look at yourself and realize that you're a soul, but you're living in a body. You're a soul that's a spiritual being trapped in a prison, if you will, called physical body. Because for the soul, and then this is what happens. This is what happens. Chas v'shalom, when a person thinks that he's making himself more free, when he goes only with the body at the expense of the soul, the nefesh is really imprisoning the soul, and that's why ultimately he feels so ochi. A person with when he, yeah, that's the best way to explain it. When a person does a mitzvah, ultimately he feels good about it. When a person does something he shouldn't be doing, this is in the if before you are excited, and afterwards you feel yuch. Some what's a yuch coming from? Because your life, the life force, the nefesh was trapped in the goof, was forced to go along with it, but didn't couldn't help it, and now it's forced. With its results. Okay, so the creator has implanted in his soul qualities and forces which make him yearn for things. So he's describing you the physical world here. Eibishter wants a person to eat because he has to eat. I'm sorry, Eibishter has to eat because Eibishter made a thing called hunger. So he forces him to eat. Eibishter wants a person to have children. Eibishter wants a person to give covered. So all these physical things are necessary in the physical world. However, if it's taken without the hadrach of Torah, it'll slip you to a place that becomes a prison for the nefesh. So, for example, so he will develop vigor to populate the earth in order that the race may continue while individuals perish. Their quality is the desire for bodily presence, common living creatures that propagate the species. Now, the Eibishter takes them into such a group, the creator also engrafted into the human soul other qualities and forces, which if he uses them, he will make them loathe his position in this world and yearn to separate himself from it. In other words, and this is the desire of perfect wisdom. Then on the other hand, the person has the ability to think, and the person has the ability to understand the downsides of this world and the upsides of Ruchnius, and he wants to leave it all. Some people, spiritual people, they loathe this world. They reject it. They don't want to be there. Okay, so now here's the problem. The problem is, here's a challenge. However, both bodily pleasures come to a man's soul first. That's the problem. Because this neshama, this seichel, that the person can understand what Eibishter wants, comes later. He doesn't mention it here, but in a complete way, a person matures at 13 as if he's a boy, and he matures at 12 as if he's a girl, which means he doesn't really have the ability to take his understanding and bring it into action for 12 years. Imagine that. It's an amazing thought, and he discusses it later. Why Hashem did it so. But look how Eibishter made a person. Eibishter made a person, the neshama comes down into a body at birth. He's a Jewish boy, has to need a bris milah, a Jewish girl. Both have to live a Jewish life, but for 12 years, they don't have the maturity to take their seichel and bring it to action. And they're waddling around with a yetzer hara and like you can tell them what to do, you can teach them, but they don't have the capacity to take that thought and bring it down. That's why they're not chayiv in the mitzvah, because they can't really connect what they're being taught and what to do. And the Eibishter knows that, and therefore a katan is part of the mitzvahs. So therefore, already in early youth, an attachment to them is from the outset strong, great, and extremely urgent. The desire for the sensual pleasure overcomes its other faculties, and until it's overpowered by the it's overpowered the intellect. For the sake which man was created. Eibishter created a person for his neshama, for ruchnius, and mitamod, the gashmius has the upper hand. And so the spiritual sight fails, and the indication of the desirable qualities disappear. So man therefore needs external means. So therefore, here comes the tale. He's what explaining here in this chapter two. He's explaining why you have to have Torah. You can't go, even though api seichel, you can come to the conclusions. To serve the Eibishter, but if you don't have Torah, you don't have the koyach to do it. He says, therefore, Hashem gives you with aid of which may he resist his despicable instinct, and the desire for animal enjoyments, and vitalize the marks of the noblest endowment, the intellect. So this aids are the contents of the Torah, whereby Hashem, through his messengers, the prophets, taught his creatures the way to serve him. So therefore, you can't rely on your seichel right away, because you have he has a big head start. So you have to have Torah to come and help you. That's the first reason why you need Torah. What he's doing in this chapter, he's explaining to you the downside of seichel. The next chapter is going to tell you the upside of seichel. Huh? This is almost like a yeshiva.
No, we're laughing because we were just in a class before, and it was like scary that everything ties in, because this is what they told about Mishlei. It was just
yeah, okay,
like,
good.
We're on Mishlei. That's disgusting. We are reading also on page 8.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry if you're losing me, but okay. Ba'asheni, that's the first reason. So the first reason is, why do we need Torah? The Torah, because it's the Shema, comes down into the body and this physical world. And in this physical world, it's Pashut, he's overwhelmed with all the pulls and pushes, whatever it calls technology today. It's a perfect punching bag. There's no reason for you can't do anything about it because it's technology. Technology, your head. And he says, every child gets born in a world that his bodily presence schleps him, and his seichel can't overcome, won't be able to overcome it if he doesn't have the keich of Torah to teach him. So Torah gives him the keich. You ever hear the Chazal, Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Torah Tavim. You ever hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you understand why. You have Yetzahara. So what is the medicine for the Yetzahara? This it's not like a Kabbalistic thing to say. He's explaining you. Since Torah is Emes, and Torah is as a Koyach. So when Torah gets, when a Yiddish Ingler, he's a person, but it doesn't have yet the Koyach HaSeichel to overcome his Mashiach of the Gashmias, he learns Torah, but he can't understand it. And the Sheini is, the second problem is, it's very interesting, this one, that the intellect is like a spiritual entity, originating in the higher spiritual world, it is a stranger in this world of gross material bodies. Imagine this. In other words, what are you talking about? So besides the head start, you want a spiritual being to find a place and to find the words and find the ability to communicate with a behemoth. Yeah. So he says the desires of man is the product of natural forces and the combination of his physical elements. It's the foundation, and this is in this world. It's rooted, and it's, in other words, the body is very comfortable in this world, and that's why Chochma Goyim won't work over here, because Chochma Goyim is all from this world. We need a koyach that's from our upper world to help us out of this place. Like, it needs somebody to pull you out of prison. You need Torah to pull you out of there. Food gives it strength. Physical pleasures add to its vigor. While it is integral, because it is a stranger here, stands without support or ally, and all against it. Hence, it follows that it must become weak and that it needs an external means to repel the mighty power of desire and overcome it. The Torah is the remedy for such spiritual maladies and moral diseases. Why? And explains this. And it's not just telling you. He explains this. Torah, therefore, prohibits many kinds of food. Prohibits certain types of clothing. We're going to talk about tznius. I don't think it's clothing or color tznius. And the way boys and girls interact, certain acquisitions and practices, all of which strengthen a person's physical desires. It also exhorts us to use those means which resist desires and its opposite. So when a person eats something that's not kosher, when a person dresses, since clothes allow the person's life to, that's actually what it's doing, clothes, It expresses what the person's nefesh. If a person is wearing undesirable clothing, what it's doing, it's suppressing the neshama and it's pushing the body forward. That's what's going on. And that's actually by design. That's what they try to do. When a person eats food, it's not kosher. What's going on? He's feeding the body, but by the same moment, he's destroying the neshama. What are we trying to do here? We're trying to get the neshama to be able to communicate with the body. How in the world is the neshama communicate with the body? If the neshama is not, it doesn't have any place in this world. It needs the body to. It needs the body to work and to think. And the body is on its own road. It can't communicate. So that's what Teddy says. You want to live a healthy life where the neshama can think straight. Eat kosher. You want to have less of a pull to gashmis. Dress like a yid. And if you want to have healthy children or healthy, even healthy body, make sure your mishpacha life is healthy too. And all of these things are all in order to allow the neshama to function. I gave you the story I had with the kid with the chol of stam. Chol of stam. Or tray for food. A child is there and is crying for food, and it's a child who is officially in a painful situation. My child was 8 years old, 4 years into my prison situation. His father's been in prison for 4 years. You can give a lot of logical reasons for him to give him, let him eat ice cream. He's a cotton. I like that one. I just thought of it. He's a cotton. He's not even Jewish yet. At 13, we're going to put it to another. I'm making a joke. He is Jewish. That's the point. He has in the neshama. And if I'm going to feed him not kosher food, that's going to impede his ability for him to understand. You have, this. That's why Kibbutz Lubavitch becomes so beautiful to understand. It gives you understanding when you're denying yourself or your one of your children's food that the neshama can't express itself in. You're not hurting it. You're helping it. You're helping him being able to understand things. His intellect can work better. If you don't do it, if you eat food, how do you know which food the neshama doesn't like? Which cookbook is there that tells you the neshama doesn't like? They have the table tells you. You have to eat certain types of fish and certain types of birds and certain types of meat. And then when you get them, you have to prepare them a certain way. All these halachas are not just halachas. Another halacha, another halacha, another halacha. Every halacha is not because a person's body is very intricate and physically could understand that. A person's shama is intricate. Every halacha that tells you how to eat is actually telling you what type of food is going to allow the neshama to present itself properly, to understand health-wise. Okay? And then you have things that the body says, hey, 1 second, I ain't doing that. Why should I do that? Prayer, fasting, or why should I daven? Why should I fast? The body does not do that. The charity giving, I have money, I keep it myself. Act of kindness, if I can. So these are things that Torah has to teach you. That the money Hashem gave you, you have to give Maisa, the Hashem wants you to exactly you with the mitzvah of building Yiddishkeit. Hashem wants to give you the mitzvah and you get the schas by you giving money. That's the Jewish intellect says. The Jewish intellect says, tells a person, you're not losing by giving. Fakert, first of all, you make yourself more a vessel of Hashem, give you more but Hashem sees that you're doing what he wants you to do. And so into beside the body, screams, what am I giving away my money? I have to buy food tomorrow. And then the neshama says, no, you want to buy food tomorrow, give to the duck and you have more money. You want to have in the neshama last forever, give to the duck and that's your connection to Hashem. So who can teach you that? Only Torah. So that's the second reason why you have to have Torah. The third reason, this is again, you see what we're doing over here, we're not commanding anything, we're explaining, we're understanding the right way to use our intellectual understanding. That's what we're doing over here. We're not forcing anything upon anybody. Once, if a person makes a decision, here's the decision you have to make. I have somebody in my family is going through a very hard time. She identified the chassan she wants to marry, and as soon as she identified him, she got what they call in prison. I forgot the term. She got cold feet, worse than cold feet. She became unable to go forward. Unable, it's like a guy you tell I get out of prison, admit them or they freeze. For 10 years, the guy's waiting out of prison, admit them. I forgot to find out the name for it. That is a perfect example of a person being guided by his emotions without the intellectual guidance. Because there's nothing in the conversation you can talk and nothing there that even the person telling you can identify why you're nervous. You're looking at somebody who's the one you're looking for all these years. And you found them. What? I don't know. I'm just anxious. I'm a basket case. And they start you, I'm a basket case ahead. And I don't know. How do I know tomorrow? I don't know this. I don't know that. But my point is, when we become a human being means if somebody, a human being is different than an animal because he has a seichel on top and his heart on the bottom. When we understand that we have emotions, but every emotion has to be taught and guided by seichel. That's what we're doing. A behemoth has also emotions. A behemoth sees danger, he runs. But he doesn't. He just wants to get away from the danger. He's not understanding. You can't rationalize with a behemoth because he doesn't have a seichel to do it. You can't rationalize with a cotton either. So here's what he's telling you: in order to overcome this weakness of the first one of being in the place where the body's pulling in the wrong way. In order, the sweetness of the soul, because the soul is a ruchni, is like a thing, you need Torah to help you. And finally, he says, because Hataiva, the sensual desire, here's what he says, I'm going to run out of time, so I'll just finish up these two pieces like this. When you use a muscle, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. If you don't use a muscle, it gets weaker, weaker, and weaker. We all agree on it, right? Physically. Same thing as what he says with your seichel. Since you're constantly using your physical muscles, you're eating all every day, kashrut, but eating every day. You're living family life every day. You're doing everything that you are strengthening your physical being every single day. But if you don't do things that strengthens your seichel every day, it gets weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. So people think that they get stronger and as they get older. It's that's not necessarily true, because we're using our nefesh habamis all the time. How much of nefesh hakis have you used? How's your muscle nefesh hakis being used? So therefore, so here it goes. Hence, it's necessary. Just jump over to that paragraph before. Hence, it's necessary for something to exist whose true proper use will not involve man's physical organs nor animalistic lust, but only the exercise of intellect freed from the predominance of desire. This adds to, this aid is a Torah, which the study of which will make the intellect stronger, pure, and more luminous, and will drive away from the man the folly that masters his soul and prevents him from seeing things as they really are and placing them in the proper relation. So, Kyle is running through this anxiety. If she had just take a deep breath and just go through what Torah teaches you about why you were born, your destiny, your strength of character, what the Torah tells you to do, the knowledge if you do what Torah tells you, Hashem is with you, she'll be able to say, okay, I do have these questions, but that's coming from a force within me that's trying to destroy me. Because if she would say no, or if she puts up this thing, the guy will run away from her also. I mean, it's all part of it. I'm sure I'm talking about something that's very common today, so I don't think I can identify, but no. And then finally, I got to finish by 12:30. If not, I get fired. Okay, one second. I'm going to finish up the bottom of the page. Gimel. So from what we have seen, this is how we finish up. From what we have, from what has been said, it's clearly established how necessary it is for a human being to a human being should be aroused in the service of Hashem by the Torah, which includes rational precepts as well as those accepted by authority, on authority, so that through these we may rise to the service of Hashem, which our reason demonstrates is a man's duty and obligations, and man's purpose for which the human species has been called into existence to this world. So if you do both of them, you got a beautiful life. That's basically the way set up in Perek Beis. If you can get together, and this is why the beauty of learning this is, if you, this little piece here, this little piece, these few pages that are in here, will demonstrate to you how you need to have Torah and you need to have Seichel. And if you can do both of them, suddenly your Seichel is injected with the life and the beauty and the light of Torah and the guidance, and you keep your own Seichel. It's not that you're giving your Seichel away, forget it. Your Seichel becomes a Seichel that'll guide it. Things like Torah. I learned Shabbos talking over and over, what was my goal? I really wanted to understand how a Yid wants to understand things. So it shouldn't be forced upon me. And I think that's where I keep mentioning a lot of times. I stayed away from ingesting other ideas by watching television, listening to shows, watching. Because at the same time you're trying to build yourself, you also stay away from intake of garbage. So this is what, once you, if you can get together, your Seichel and Torah, you have the most beautiful life you can have. Okay, now everybody wants to go and go. What was talking about? Yeah. Huh? Yeah.